Well, Zeman's Beers podcast series returns for our second edition here in 2021. And Len and I would like to start by thanking our good friends at Mistwood Golf, a year-round Chicago area golf operation, Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville in the summer, the Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook on Route 53 in the winter. The Mistwood Golf Dome is open. However, right now, due to COVID restrictions, you need to call in advance to get a hitting bay or to book a lesson and or club fitting. McWethy's Sports Bar is open for food, which you can carry out and take home or even sit out in your car and eat in the parking lot. They are serving beverages right now in the dome. And next week, it's club fitting season, a special event, club fitting event. You do need to book a spot in the group for that night, but Callaway Golf is there to do club fitting with some of its new products. So take advantage of that at the Mistwood Golf Dome, Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Call 630-739-7600. Well, it's at least sunny and warming up to 40 degrees here into Chicago today. Hopefully we'll lose some of our snow, but we're going to head south to a guy who doesn't really get to see snow anymore. It's Len Zeeb down in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and the PGA Village. And Len, it's got to be nice to look outside and see green grass.
It is bad. It's we get cold, kind of 40 degrees temperatures in the morning, but 70s. And this week it's supposed to hit 80 in one day this week. So nice sunny days. It's nice to look out at everything. And, you know, of course, we're getting a tour stop coming up. The couple little tidbits on the Florida scene here. The LPGA Tour is about to open this season with the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions in the Orlando area. And we just got word today that the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is also in Orlando, is going to be welcoming spectators for the first time. Limited version, but there aren't too many PGA Tour events that have announced already that they're going to do that. So those are kind of feel good things that are soon to come around here, and I'm sure that more and more are going to be coming into Florida and Illinois, for that matter.
Well, and I just received last night pictures from our good friend, Orlando-based Larry Spalla, the former media chairman for the 2003 U.S. Open at Olympia Fields. Larry was over in the neighborhood and happened to see all the construction going on yesterday at Bay Hill. They're setting up bleachers, and that in itself is a wonderful thing. And they were going up on at least two or three different holes yesterday. And Larry tells us that the word around Orlando is that Bay Hill could get anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 spectators per day for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and that would be a good sign, and I certainly hope they do.
I believe I've also read a similar, the Honda Classic is also talking about, made some overtures about having spectators. I don't know if they've made anything official yet, but of course, these are March events, so, you know, there's time to make announcements like that. But regarding Larry, of course, was a longtime Olympia Fields guy. I've noticed this year is that this was interesting. The Olympia Fields South Course is going to get some more renovation treatment. But what was interesting there, which we knew about, the guy who's going to oversee it is named Andy Staples, a name that I don't know other than the fact that Andy has done a major job at a course near me here in Delray Beach, Florida. So I tell you, golf is one big community. We're all close together one way or the other.
Well, Staples is a Wisconsin-based architect, and he's done a couple projects up north in Wisconsin and Michigan. And apparently one of those projects caught the eye of the club, and they brought him in when they had to make a change, the architect position of the work. So we'll see how it turns out. The word is that there will be a lot less trees on the South Golf Course when the project is done. It is drawing a mixed reaction from membership. So it'll be interesting to see what the general feeling of the club is when the project is done. Nine holes is starting this fall, and the other nine holes will work in 2022. So Olympia Fields South will be the first course done, and then Olympia Fields North will have some work done to it after that, probably starting in 2023 or 4. And, you know, Len, we were talking a little bit there about the Arnold Palmer Invitational on the PGA Tour. And speaking of the PGA Tour, one of our local players had a good week on the PGA Tour last week. Northbrook native Nick Hardy, the University of Illinois alum, turned on the Jets in round two. Three shots short of the cut line with 11 holes to go. He birdied seven of the last 11 holes coming in, stuck around for the weekend, backed it up with a pair of 66s. On Saturday and Sunday, and finished in a tie for 14th place and brought home a check just shy of $114,000.
That was just great for Nick. I tell you, he's looking for some competition. You can understand it. The Corn Ferry Tour won't get going until February, and not even early February. So that's the tour that is a direct path for Nick to make the PGA Tour at the end of the year. Here he's in the top 25 right now, and keep playing like that, he'll be on the main circuit for the next time around. But I understand that Nick is also going to try to Monday qualify for a couple other PGA Tour events at Torrey Pines and the Waste Management in Arizona, which is where he's spends the winters now. So I hope he has another couple good PGA events. Who knows? He may, if he wins one of those, he may, you know, his career is going to take off fast. But that was had been a very encouraging tournament for Nick last week. I hope they continue. He's a great player and a great talent. You know, his career is heading in the right direction.
Nick Hardy decided, you know, being based in Arizona, it wasn't a big deal to jump on a plane and go out to Oahu for the four-spot Monday qualifier, and Nick had to survive a three-way playoff to get that last spot. He took a look when he got to the golf course, a brand-new golf course on Oahu, and he said that he felt he would need to shoot 6 under par to get into the Sony Open to advance out of the qualifier. And he went out and he shot 4 under par, and he had some concerns. And then he said the wind picked up a little bit in the afternoon, and conditions got a little tougher. And so he said he hung around hoping that he'd make the playoff, and he did. There was three players for one spot, and Nick simply just went out and birdied the first hole and took care of business right there, and the playoff was over. So
well, you know what was really impressive with his whole tournament there. I mean, it was impressive, but three different things here that really should speak very well of Nick's future. He was under the gun in the qualifier and answered it with birdies in the last three birdies late, and then a win in the playoff. That was delivering under pressure. In the tournament itself, he shoots 63 in the second round when he needed a good score to make the cut, and of course that helped his cause immensely there. And then on the weekend, he goes 66-66 and came charging in with birdies on the back nine to, after dropping down the leaderboard, he came climbing right up to a very respectable finish. So Nick Hardy, you and I both knew he would be a player to be reckoned with, and now he certainly is at the PGA Tour level.
PGA Tour has had a couple of other recent announcements. Number one, they finally are getting out of Mexico. I'm not so sure the WGC event that was at Trump Doral really needed to get moved to Mexico in the first place. There was always issues there that we didn't always hear about through the media, but I know the players will look forward to going back to Florida since there's, you know, a run of other tournaments there at the time, and it keeps players in a one-state area where they can bounce around the tour for 4 or 5 weeks. But there are several great facilities in Florida to take this event to, and I think the players will enjoy being back in Florida. Also, one of Florida's residents on the PGA Tour, Tiger Woods, has had to have yet another back surgery, his fifth, to go along with anywhere from 5 to 8 knee surgeries that he's had. And there was a lot of people who thought that he was walking very gingerly in his last few appearances in golf tournaments. The two tournaments he was supposed to play in coming up that included in Los Angeles at Riviera, the Genesis event, and then Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance event, he has dropped out. There is no timetable for his return. You have to believe he will try to play in the Masters, but with the Masters back on its original date and less than 90 days away, even that could be a little bit of a stretch right now.
My guess is Rory McIlroy predicted that Tiger would return at the Masters. And I don't know what Rory knows. That may be just wishful thinking on his part. You know, Tiger's body, it's taken a real beating. He's been under the knife so many times that the fact that he's still out there and playing at all is amazing. I understand that this last surgery came after he experienced some problems playing with his 11-year-old son in the PNC. It's kind of a family event, a twosome event that held in Orlando a few weeks back. And, you know, it's a very informal, casual event. But even something like that can create a problem for Tiger. So I wish him the best. I hope he can be back to the Masters, because he adds a lot to that tournament. You know, he's been a winner there very dramatically several times. Who knows if he can do it again? I did have an interesting note for us on the Champions Tour, which is about to begin its season in Hawaii with the Mitsubishi Electric Championship. And now, last year, I had two of our Chicago favorites golfers, Hale Irwin, who won the Western Open and a U.S. Open, and he was a very successful player in the Chicago ranks in the Meritech Senior Open. He had told me last year that he was late last year, late 2020, that he didn't know if he'd ever play again, that he hadn't been, he's 75 years old. You know, he wasn't doing very well on the Champions Tour, officially retired from the Champions Tour. However, the Mitsubishi Electric Championship, he's in the field. And not just him, but so was our own Jeff Sluman of Hinsdale. And Jeff had announced to me just a couple months ago that he was going to very much drastically cut back his tournament play. But here he is in the first tournament of the season. He's back out there. So it's kind of interesting how the tournaments are falling together, and the players are maybe they're just appreciating what they might be missing in one another crack at it. Be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, it sure is. And Len, the other thing that is creating some controversy is, and I have not seen it, so I can't really judge at this point, but the HBO special on Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that neither Tiger nor anyone in his camp wanted to be interviewed for this. So they went ahead and did it anyway. And now it's airing on HBO. And Tiger's camp is complaining that the people who put the documentary together didn't interview Tiger or anybody in his camp, which, they all refused. And now they're complaining they weren't interviewed. But I have yet to see it. I hear from people who have seen it. It's very telling, and it explains a lot of things about Tiger Woods. Have you seen it? And if so, what would your review be?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. And I'm really looking forward to it, because I thought I was going to be able to see it last week. There was a Tiger documentary, I believe it was on ESPN. I thought, well, this must be it. All it was, that one, though, was just a rehash of all his victories, highlights from his tournaments past. And I thought, this can't be it, because the documentary is supposed to be a bit on the telltale side, a bit bringing out some of his difficult times. And, if him and his camp didn't want to participate, had the opportunity to participate and then didn't want to, then they kind of leave themselves open on that. But I do intend to see this, this latest show. I thought I had seen it, and then I realized later on that this couldn't be the real piece that a lot of the golf world has been talking about. I intend to see it as quickly as I can.
Chicago District Golf Association has announced they're getting ready to open for registration of their tournaments that include the Illinois State Amateur out by our friends at Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. I spoke with architect Ray Hearn, who designed and renovated Mistwood, and he told me that late owner Jim McWethy, it was one of the tournaments that Jim really wanted to host one day at Mistwood. So I hope come July that people will come out and see the Illinois State Amateur at Mistwood Golf Club, Renwick Road in Romeoville. Great place to play golf. The Performance Center there is outstanding. A really fun golf course. And, of course, the great McWethy's Tavern to eat at it as well, which is still currently open right now, of course, doing carryouts only because of the COVID restrictions. But Mistwood Golf. And then, of course, the Mistwood Golf Dome over in Bowling Brook, the premier golf dome in the Chicagoland area. There are other good ones, but Mistwood rings out as the best. And so in addition to the CDGA, they're going to have a their amateur up at Bull Valley Golf Club in Woodstock. And the Illinois PGA schedule came out, a good portion of it anyway. And we learned that the Illinois Open, which will be a one-course championship again this year, will be played at Stonebridge. And the course has undergone a lengthening program from just over 6,800 yards. Architect Mike Bunkuski, who also did Arlington Lakes, worked on the project in conjunction with the club and the Fazio Golf Group, tells me the yardage is now pushed back to 7,136 yards. So if the Illinois PGA wants to lengthen up the Illinois Open, they've got an extra 300 yards to work with. And it'll be interesting to see these events this upcoming year. And, you know, we just mentioned Bull Valley, and the Illinois PGA is going up there as well for the match play, which is going to move back to May. And the Ivanhoe Club will host the section championship in August.
Yeah, that's a really a major changes for the for both Bull Valley, which has never really been, it's been a good golf course, but it never has been a much of a big tournament site. I think, and now it's got a bonanza. It's got a major event for the CDGA and a major event for the Illinois PGA. That's, you know, I think that's just excellent for there. And Ivanhoe, of course, we've known Ivanhoe as a good tournament site. It had hosted the Rust-Oleum Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour for 3 years. Before that tournament moved on in the form of the Evans Scholars Invitational, which is apparent going back to the Glen Club. This was really a surprise. This week was when the you saw the schedules out for both the CDGA and the Illinois PGA. I can't remember ever having both groups have at least tentative schedule announcements made in January. So they're as anxious for the season to get going as we are.
Could get to be a very interesting year at Bull Valley. Bull Valley Golf Club owner Gary Rabine is making strong hints of running for governor against J.B. Pritzker here in 2022. So that's something that could benefit the state down the road, is to have a golfer for governor, which we currently don't have. And based on some of the things that happened to the golf industry in Illinois this year, by having a governor and nobody on his staff that played golf or understand the game, really held the industry back here for a couple of months. So if Illinois, if it's in its future to have a golfer in the governor's mansion, that would be a wonderful thing. And Gary Rabine is expected to make his plans known shortly, but our understanding is that he is leaning towards running for governor, and could be a great move for Illinois. But Len, let's go back to Florida. Next week would be the PGA merchandise show. It's in a different format this year, and just curious a little bit of what you might be expecting in this virtual format. I know a lot of people up here are really disappointed, because we all look forward to going to Florida this time of year and start to gear up for the golf season. And it'll get launched next week, but in a really strange way.
Yeah, it really is going to be strange. I think, you know, being positive first, I think it's great that they're putting together a show even on a virtual format. However, there's just barely 200 exhibitors, not very many, and it's all being done online. We don't have either of our two Chicago companies in this one, Tour Edge or Wilson, club manufacturers. It looks like Callaway is maybe the biggest name company in the on the roster list. There is one speaker opportunity that I'm very much interested in. People from Frisco, Texas are going to have the staff there. Jimmy Carey, who had been the general manager at the clubs here at where I live here in Port St. Lucie, Florida. He was at the PGA Golf Club since 2013 and then took the job over there. He's going to head a group that includes Bo Welling and Gil Hans, the architects of the courses in Frisco, Texas, where the which is eventually going to become the PGA's main headquarters. They're going to talk about what that move to Frisco means overall to the golf industry, and I'm really interested in tapping into that press conference and hearing just what it's about. Even though, you know, I won't be there in person, I'm sure there will be some food for fodder after that's over with. You know, the PGA show here, if you seems like you're going to be staring at your computer screen a lot, and there are a lot of smaller exhibitors who want to use the format to promote their own gear, but it isn't the big company, so it's hard to tell that much other big news will be coming out of there. Usually it's a hotbed of information, but we'll have to see what happens in a couple weeks.
And one final topic I wanted to address is we got news up here, north of the border, Sand Valley. The Kaiser family, along with Tom Doak, have switched directions on the Sand Valley destination golf property they have in Nakusa, Wisconsin. And Tom Doak was going to build the third course. They're going to call it Sedge Valley. Sedge Valley's been put on hold. And a different idea has surfaced at this time. And what they are going to do is something they had kicked around doing at Bandon Dunes but didn't feel the land was right. They are going to recreate, they believe, and pretty all the way up to in a fashion where it's almost exactly, even though the Atlantic Ocean will be missing, but the historic Lido Golf Club, a monster in its time, built over a four-year span, basically through the years of World War I on the coast of Long Island, back when golf courses used to cost $50,000 to build. This one was $1,400,000, and Seth Rayner did it. It was a monster at the time. It was an incredible golf course. It was the heyday place for a lot of the rich and famous in the New York area back in the day. Through the Roaring Twenties, that place was roaring. It still did well during the Depression era of the 30s. However, in 1942, after the United States entered World War II, the land was gobbled up by the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, this is really a fascinating story. Amazingly, this, even though it's been closed about 80 years, maybe something like that, it's never been forgotten. It had such a, and you know, Seth Rayner was, of course, a key architect in there, but it wasn't just him. C.B. McDonald was involved in the early stages of this project. C.B. McDonald, of course, did the first 18-hole course in America at the Chicago Golf Club. So there's all kinds of history between about the Lido. I want to learn more and more about it. I've always heard about it, because it's been gone so long, it's been a mystery thing. It was a design that was way ahead of its time. It involved a lot of people who were very prominent in the golf industry back in the early stages of the 1900s. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this when it gets far along. It'll be fascinating to see just what this final project is, because it certainly has to be different than most, not just the courses at Sand Valley, but most of the courses that we're so familiar with and have seen and played. So that's a real positive and exciting new development in the golf world.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they recreate this. Tom Doak thinks he can create some of it basically exactly to the inch. Some areas of the course, the photos they have are not as clear, so they'll be close. But there is no Atlantic Ocean nearby. So that part of the golf course will be different. Obviously, the winds coming in off the ocean made the golf course play differently quite frequently. But we'll have to see. All I know is it's going to be old-fashioned style golf that a lot of people who play golf these days are really starting to enjoy when and where they can get exposed to it, because most of the clubs that still have that style are private and don't often always have big memberships and are hard to get memberships in, even if you have the financial resources to do so. So it'll be really interesting to see what they create. Some limited play will start in fall of next year, 2022. So anyway, Len, we got to thank our friends at Mistwood Golf, Chicago's year-round golf operation, the Mistwood Golf Dome in Brolingbrook. And we will do the third version of our podcast next week.